Well, there are a lot of things that an interviewer should ensure in order to make an interview effective. Apart from the body language, we also have the element of note taking. So it's one basic fact that we should understand is human memory is not always the best friend of the interviewer. Many a times the memory is not sharp enough to record all the details that have happened in one interview, especially if there are multiple interviews happening in a day. So what is essential is the aspect or concept of note taking. So accuracy suffers when you have multiple interviews, and then it is very difficult to reiterate or to reflect on what has been said during the interview. So an interviewer might probably remember a few points, but it's very difficult for an average interviewer with an average memory to remember all the points within all the interviews. Hence, the need to record important information in the form of notes, probably in a summarized manner, so that whatever gaps happen can be quickly reflected upon by these particular notes. A lot of times, an accurate record of the interview is useful evidence. Tomorrow, in case a candidate challenges the selection process in an equal opportunities forum or panel, so then the recruiter can bring evidence which shows that the candidate has not actually met up with the prerequisites of the interview process. So, note taking serves a multitude of reasons, few of them which we've enlisted, which are the most prominent ones. Let's move on. Now, along with note taking, the process of listening is extremely critical. It is extremely important and essential that the interviewer has good listening skills, has active listening, which actually enables the interviewer to lead the interview in a particular manner, to actually elicit better responses, and through those responses, conduct the interview. So, effective interviewing requires good listening skills even more than the skills required to ask questions. So, this effective listening needs to be done in a very tactful manner, in a very subtle manner. Focus needs to be a prime part of listening. So, if the interviewer is focusing more on the next question, or focusing more on aspects other than what need to be, you know, discussed or need to be listened in the interview process, this particular skill will not be utilized well. So it's critical that the interviewer uses certain types of listening. One being critical listening, that is the manner in which the information is being provided, that is the way it is being presented. The next point is discriminative listening. This is listening to the body language. This is listening to non-verbal cues or signals which the candidate displays. This also might be listening to the tone of the voice rather than the words. Another type of listening is informative listening, as the name goes, listening for critical pieces of information. Whenever there's an interview happening, we need to remember that not all the words being said are critical. So, a tactful interviewer, a skillful interviewer, has to develop a habit of deciphering important pieces of information, listen for those important pieces of information. Thus, this can be categorized under informative listening. We have also heard about active listening, which is listening with the intent of capturing information in a very subtle manner, listening to not just the voice, but like we've discussed in discriminative listening, listening to the non-verbal cues. At times we say the actions or the gestures, they speak louder than the words. So, probably the words might say or convey a different meaning, and whatever is being said might be totally different. For example, if the person does not believe in good customer service, So he will show signs or she will show signs of contradiction in the body language, although he's forced to say that he or she has a strong belief in customer service concepts. Probably they might be nervous because they are lying. The body actions might contradict. Instead of having a smile on the face, they might have a frown when it comes to some things which they do not like. So intent listening is one of the key skills which seasoned interviewers possess and which novice interviewers need to develop. So if you want to start the transition from being a novice interviewer to a seasoned interviewer, it's extremely critical that you have the requisite amount of listening skills. Let's move on. Now, along with listening is one process. Along with listening, a person also needs to possess the right amount of probing skills. So, basically, what we need to understand is we need to ask in order to elicit or solicit information. We need to probe in the right manner. Probing is nothing but the skill of asking questions which will provide useful information. So probing, if you've seen, happens in a lot of places. It happens in sales. It happens in interrogation, like a detective or a police interrogation, where the police interrogate a particular person who is a suspect of a crime. So similarly, to get the right amount of information from the prospective employee or from the interview candidate, we need to actively probe. So whenever you make requests for information, you're using the skill of probing. Now, used in a very right manner, used in the correct manner, probing can yield a lot of useful information which may be of use in making a discretionary decision whether the candidate is a right fit for our organization or not. So probing provides the right amount of information. Any falsification or any lies which are told by the particular candidate can also be eliminated through the right amount of probing. Now, probing can be categorized into two broad type of questions or two broad types of probes. One is being the open and the other one being closed. Well, the prime difference between the two is that the open kind of probe or the open-ended questions, as they are also known, are those questions which make the candidate talk, which make the candidate give out a lot of information. So ideally, what the interviewer is doing is he or she is eliciting an open response from the candidates. Questions or words like what, when, how, where, these kind of words, when they're used in certain questions, elicit a response which is not of a few words, but probably which is a few sentences at least in length. So how well did you perform in the last organization? What was your role when it came to customer service, catering to customer service in your organization? How did you match up to the technical requirements in your organization? Such kind of questions, friends, they are open probes or open-ended in nature. Ideally, what happens is they set off a reaction, they set off a response, which a person might, end up giving you a lot of information. The next type of probe is the closed type of a probe. Here, you want to have definite answers. You want to get definite information, short pieces, probably a decision like a yes or a no, or maybe important elements like the date of the birth or some other things. So you're probably, you can define or you can preset conditions which actually get you the answer in a yes or a no. So the questions here are longer with a shorter response. Now, a skilled interviewer ideally would start their questions in the open manner. So they would start in the open-ended manner by saying, by requesting information from the candidate, by letting the candidate talk more, and the interviewer ideally talks less. if the flow of or the sequence of the interview is going right, follow it up in the same way. If you want to filter or if you want to cut down on the time or if you want more specifics, you can then you know, fall back to the closed ended, or you can start with the closed ended. So closed ended question example might be, well, do you have experience in the technical sector which pertains to research and development in production? So a person might say yes, or a few sentences here, but probably a yes or a no would be more pertinent answer. Does your date of birth you know, lie before you know, 19, are you born in the 1970s, early 1970s? So person would either say a yes or a no. Now that we have discussed certain elements of how we create an effective interview, what are the tips that are required by the interviewer, let us look at a phase which is preparing to interview. So interviewing, as we've seen, is a strategic skill. It has got a certain amount of strategy and tact. It has got a certain amount of structure, which is one important type of interview. So for this, we need to actually prepare for the interviewer. So the interviewer cannot just walk in and create an interview. They need to specifically sit, they need to plan, and they need to prepare for the interview. So what are the critical steps here? The very first is prepare in advance for the interview. It's extremely critical to know the job and its responsibilities, to review the job description. So the interviewer ideally should have a picture of what are the key areas in a particular job that they are interviewing the person for. Let us take the example of a person who has been being interviewed for a creative content writing position in an advertising agency. So basically they have to do the copywriting and the design of the content. So here probably the key areas would be knowledge of certain software applications, knowledge of the content related copyright laws, and a few other things. So the interviewer, if not an expert, should at least have some elements of understanding of what the job entails. What are the descriptions in that job? So all these kind of things need to be known prior to the interview. There should be also a review done of this job description. There needs to be a list of prioritized and measurable criteria. So let us say if the job requires the sale of credit cards, if it is the interview happening for a manager, so what probably are you know, how many number of people has the manager managed under him? What are the sales been for that particular quarter? So these things, they are in congruence with the job responsibilities. There are certain measured criterias. Also set specific appointment times and reasonable time limits. So you need to understand that the candidate's time is also important. In order for a structure to be present, there needs to be a set appointment time at which the interview should start. At the very start of the interview, the candidate should set out, the interviewer should set out a specific time limit for the candidate, that is a duration which should be informed upfront. So these are a few of the things which happen in the first, very first phase or step of preparing to interview, which is nothing but preparing in advance for the interview. Let's move on. The next step is to collect the relevant or the pertinent information during the interview. So it's extremely critical. We have seen certain steps like note taking, like listening, like understanding through asking of questions, through probing, that we can collect the pertinent information. Now what type of information? Those were certain techniques or skills to get information. In this slide we shall discuss what information is required. So information which focuses on the past behavior, this is a good predictor of the future behavior. So basically if a person is into customer service, so has the person encountered difficult people? What was the frequency that they served difficult people in an, you know, on a call, what are the techniques that they used to pacify difficult people. So all these aspects, all these things relate to the past behavior. So if the current job is a person who requires, you know, the requisite is an expert customer service manager. So what are the things that they have done in the past to man this particular position? So those things might be a good predictor of the things that will come into the future. So we need to understand and look for the candidate's behavioral patterns as we collect information. So this proves useful to understand the job description, the areas of responsibility, and of course, as we say, experience matters. So if it's a managerial position, what kind of experience has been gathered along the way? Now, knowing this experience is one thing, but we also need to understand whether this experience is pertinent experience requiring our job position, if it's a real match, if it works well for our job, if the experience is relevant to what our job requires. One point that we need to make a note of, which is an essential point, is try not to offer too much detailed information upfront so that the candidate will be able to formulate answers that exactly fits your company's needs. So do not give hints or clues beforehand. There are many candidates who through experience develop into street smart people. They are able to gauge the necessities and requirements. They might have already visited your organization's website so that they know what is the policy, what is the mission and vision, how your department might work. They might have people from the department of the prospective job. Today, due to social networking and business networking, they might be able to tap into people who are already a part of that department. They might either review the profiles, or they might just go ahead and call up these people to understand the position in a better manner so that they are able to provide better answers. So one thing is to refrain from providing too much information that might just be reflected as a part of the candidate's answers. So you might not, if the candidate is not experienced in a particular technology or a particular field, they might show as if they have done some work which might prove to be a halo effect or a false error from the interview point of perspective. So these are some of the important things that you need to understand and implement while collecting pertinent information during the interview process. Let's move on. As per this particular discussion, we discussed this in the previous slide as well. Important thing, as I mentioned in the previous slide at the very start, is to ask questions. It's very important to ask questions in order to be provided with information. If you want to take your interview in a particular direction, in a particular format, you need to actually lead the conversation. So leading the conversation is not that you should do 80% of the talking. No, leading the conversation is you should do the minimal talking, but you should do it in such a tactful manner, in such a strategic manner, that you are leading the conversation where you want to go. So if you have specific job description in mind, if you want to ask, as we saw in the previous slide, any particular information, you should actually think of certain questions which will lead the conversation. Thus, we need to ask questions that focus on the candidate's past performances here. So you should ask such intelligent questions which the candidate needs to reply in terms of the past performance or the past experience. What kind of questions need to be asked is of prime concern. So these questions need to be specific. Here we have it. These need to be structured. Structured is there needs to be a certain planning there. There needs to be a certain strategy there. There needs to be a certain predefined manner. So as I said at the start of this particular slide, the delegate or the candidate should not be the one who leads the interview or is in control of the interview. It should be as per a predefined structure. which is which has been set by the interviewer. Thus, specific structured questions in regards to specific problems that the job holder may face need to be asked. For example, what are the challenges that you faced when you were new to this particular job? If the person is a manager, so what are the things that you actually did in order to help your team when you faced a specific challenge? When you were told to work continuously for 2 weeks when your team was meeting a specific deadline to create a particular module, what is the way that you motivated them? So these are very pertinent, very specific, very structured questions, which are of course based on the past performances of the candidate. Now, by gauging the way the person approached this particular problem with a particular solution, helps us understand the kind of experience that the person has gathered, helps us understand whether this candidate is right or wrong for the job. So it's extremely critical as a part of preparing to interview that we collect the pertinent information during the interview. Let's move on. Of course, this process is so important. It's one of the crux areas, one of the focus areas that we shall dedicate this slide as well. So we need to also observe. Good interviewers are extremely good observers. Now, apart from the observing of the tone of the voice or non-verbal signals in terms of body language, we also need to notice or observe how well the candidate listens and responds to the questions asked. So is the questions, are the questions that have been asked, do they make the candidate nervous? Do they make the candidate agitated? Do they make the candidate irritable? Or is the candidate enjoying, or is he relaxed, or is she relaxed? Are they answering? Are they fully listening to what you're asking? Or without listening, they're already preoccupied in providing a solution. So this is extremely important. A very tactful and a very intelligent kind of an interviewer, probably the ones who are seasoned with years of experience, have a norm of performing this particular action. Listening to the questions the candidates ask is also important. It's critical that we provide the right answers. It is critical that we go with the flow of information in an interview. So it is also critical to listen to the questions that the candidates ask. Another point is record information pertaining to the set criteria that will help in evaluating of the candidates. Post the interview, we have an important activity, which is creating a score or evaluating whether the candidate is a right match or not. So recording these points, they go a long way in helping us. In a brief manner, if we are able to record the particular instances which were set out as examples from the candidate's past experience, they actually help us understand how well a candidate might perform in the future job if selected. So it's extremely critical to record information. Now, the third point, we've discussed extensively about collecting pertinent information during the interview for the last few slides. In this slide, let us take a look at how we need to look and act professionally during the interview. It's critical for an interviewer to dress appropriately, to dress in a professional manner. Now, as we've said previously, I would like to reiterate. The interview is a way in which you project or sell the image of your company. It's nothing but you're judging and evaluating the skills of a candidate. And if the candidate proves to be a right fit, it is your onus as an interviewer, it is your responsibility to motivate the candidate to join the job. In this particular area, we need to dress appropriately, so as to look extremely professional from the perspective, or be viewed as extremely professional from the candidate's point of view. Avoid appearing bored and fatigued. A lot of times candidates mirror, they have they mirror the way the interviewer looks, or probably they might not be comfortable with people who look bored and fatigued. The flow of the interview also might get lost because of this. So it's extremely important that the interviewer is well relaxed before an interview. The interviewer is not bored. The interviewer is enthusiastic. If the person is bored and fatigued, it will reflect through each of the techniques used. Probably might not be able to observe the person carefully, might not be able to listen carefully, might not be able to take notes. Set a business-like atmosphere. Interviews are, of course, the most professional, one of the most professional aspects in any business. So the interview itself needs to be in a professional manner and in a professional setting. Structure the interview. We've seen the importance of doing this. Research has pointed out that structured interviews, having specific questions and probes, having a specific direction, are the ones which are more successful than unstructured ones. And of course, inform the candidate of the structure. Probably, if the interview entails personal questions at the start, a short test on aptitude in the midst, followed by the feedback session. So inform the person about this structure. Tell them about the duration, and probably ask them questions which pertain to the job description. Provide information on the company and job to each candidate. This way, you are helping them to or educating them to make an informed choice, whether this company has the required culture, whether they have the required growth, whether their brand image is excellent. So it makes the candidates firstly comfortable, and second, they can, they are sold on. If the company brand image is good, they are sold on to the company. Post a successful interview, they will immediately think of joining the company in this context. So all these things need to be looked into and adhered to. The next point is the fourth point, wherein there needs to be equal or emancipation kind of a treatment. There needs to be a certain sense of fairness and equality in treating all of the candidates. So there is a necessity to use the list of standardized questions, questions which are quite standard to each candidate. They're not very different. They're not, one set of interview cannot have very complicated questions, while a similar interview for a similar position should ideally not have very difficult questions. This ensures a certain sense of fairness to the particular proceedings. Thus, we need to treat the applicants in an equal manner. There should be no bias or prejudice when it relates to creating the structure of the interview or asking of particular questions to the delegates. Keep all questions job related. Being professional is also sticking to the point. So any prejudice related questions, like more details on the family background, or probably of the ethnicity, or probably of any of the personal aspects where the person stays, all these things should be relatively limited, or at the most minimum. There should primarily be more questions related to the job. The reason being, we are here to interview people, not about their ethnicity, not about their roots and origins, but more about their skills, their technical competence, and their readiness to perform for the particular job position. As a part of this particular point, show a genuine interest in every candidate you interview. So this can be done through your body language. This can be done by asking them if they need anything, by asking them if you've answered all their questions, and also by a simple smile. So if you are smiling at a candidate when a candidate walks through the door, then this suffices for treating the people in a fair and equal manner. Candidates would form successful candidates would be the new blood in the organization. So you need to treat people with respect. You need to treat people with courtesy. Candidates are those people who either might be your prospective employees or probably might be a part of your passive database. Hence, you need to be humane in your treatment of such people. By being humane, what I mean is, in common layman terms, it's nothing but being courteous, it's nothing but being respectful. And one more important word which I would like to add at this juncture is be empathetic. Show a lot of empathy towards the candidate. Understand that the candidate, if is good, is going to add a value, a certain sense of value to your organization, is come there to fill a position which has become vacant. A vacant position, as we've seen earlier, is a loss to the company. It's an ongoing loss happening because those tasks or activities remain incomplete. So it's a lack of revenue, or it's a loss of revenue which can be generated when a new person joins in and fills the vacant position. Hence, we need to be extremely courteous and respectful. So conduct the interview in a private place away from distractions. If possible, conduct the interview without interruptions. Thus, ensure that your conversation with the candidate or the delegate happens in a non-interrupted manner. Appreciate the candidate's accomplishments. So, if the candidate has achieved something or has been socially active or has won awards, try and appreciate and acknowledge these points as a part of being courteous and respectful. And of course, do not argue with the candidate on any point. So, arguing, what happens is you might get into a conflict kind of a mode, and all the good work which has been done in the interview might be undermined. So, if you have a candidate who is the right choice for the organization, you might end up losing such candidate or candidates by getting into the process of argument or conflict with such people. So, it's critical that we do not argue with people. It's critical we remove obstacles and barriers that happen in an interview. It's critical that we ask people what they want. Certain words that can be used are please, thank you, definitely, look forward to, such other words which are positive in nature, positive in intent, and they seem or they are rather courteous and respectful.